ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Phoenix Club.
And welcome to season two of the Phoenix Pod.
Oh, we call it this. Are we still calling it the Phoenix Pod?
Yeah, it's just like the thingy name for it.
Okay. Yeah, this would normally be the time where I do my Phoenix Pod intro, but I don't know. It doesn't seem right doing it for sort of like the season that we're going to be covering. I think I'll just sort of keep that to. Sort of just maybe for when we do Phoenix Nights, I reckon, because I don't want it to wear out its welcome.
No, that's absolutely fine. So I'm of course your host once again, AXC, joined by Man from the R&D podcast, and of course the singer of the introductionist, the compare,
yeah,
to season one of the Phoenix Pod is Lewis Ogden.
Hello. Yes, it's just a two-man power trip combination tonight, rather than the usual 3MB that we usually have, because all stupid sexy Flinders has come down with a bit of a bug, so he wasn't well enough to record tonight.
He did tell me though, he told me in between whilst drying his hands at the hand dryer, and all he finished with was covered in piss. I'm hoping he threw in, he got the all clear in there, but you never know.
Well, he'll know when he gets
the all clear.
He'll know when he'll get the results in the gold envelope. You know. Specifically through Booper.
On Talent Track Night. Oh, dear. So yes, we are here for season two, but rather than looking at season two of Phoenix Nights, we are taking a trip back to 1998 for the pilots of a show which is pretty much only known as That Peter Kay Thing. Mm. Actually titled so because they were trying to think of a name for it, and his mates just said, well, whatever you call it, people would call it That Peter Kay Thing. So, hence the name.
Little bit of a trivia here. The original broadcast of this pilot episode, it came out a day before my fifth birthday.
Ah. Showing your age now, though, it's a lack of.
Oh, I know. Well, compared to other people that we have in our little podcast community, yes.
Well, you are the baby of the group, as we say.
Mm-hmm. I am.
So for those unaware, That Peter Kay Thing was a series of six spoof documentaries in the style of airline cruise ship, was it called? The cruise with Jamie Donald. And
I was thinking it was quite like airport program. Was it airline? It was called
Airline, yeah, that's the one.
Was it Airline? Because I kept thinking it was Come Fly With Me, but that's a different show entirely.
Oh, it would be a completely different show if it was.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I watched this episode with the audio commentary, and Peter says himself, like he said, he wanted it to be in the style of like Victoria Wood when she used to do different characters and stuff. But then when he pitched the idea, he's like, I want it to be like airline, like the cruise and all that sort of thing. So it's a sort of pseudo-documentary almost, in his style, a spoof. So the original series aired.
And sort of what The Office became.
Yeah, pretty much.
In a way.
So the original series aired in 2000, shown on Channel 4. This was done in 1998. It aired on the 6th of November? 9th of November, even, sorry, yeah. As part of a series called Comedy Lab on Channel 4, which was, like, showcased new ideas. That's where, like, Jimmy Carr got his first appearance on TV, and it was also where they found the piloted Trigger Happy and Phone Jacker, amongst others. So, And of course, the series was also it was written by Peter K. Dave Spikey, even Neil Fitzmaurice and Gareth Hughes. It was directed by Andrew Gilman. The main series itself was directed by narrated even sorry by Andrew Sachs, but Peter K. directed the pilot episode, which is The Services, which we're going to look at today.
Yeah, back when both Peter K. and Paddy McGuinness, who does make a very brief cameo in this episode, when they were wee nippers of the age of 25. So, yeah, makes you feel incredibly old. Considering that both of them are 46 at the moment, it gives you an indicator of how long it's been.
Oh, it's mad, considering Paddy's haircut in this as well. It's like a reject from Take That or something like Boyzone or whatever. Like.
I've just had a thought. I've just had a thought. The hair he's forcing here. I kept thinking, is he wearing a wig? This must have been weird when he was going down there. He's going bald face.
He must have come on quick, because what was Phoenix Nights a year? I think they filmed Phoenix Nights like 2 years later. So
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, you're going bald. No. funnily enough, as well, from other trivia, it nearly ended up being set in a supermarket, this episode. Peter Kay says in the commentary, they were looking to do a service station, but Channel 4 was like, can you film it in London? And they asked around, they went apparently around every service station asking, because they're all like franchise or whatever, they're run by like private companies. They all said no. And apparently in all of the UK, there's only two independently run service stations. And the ones that is the one that he lives right near, which they filmed at near Bolton.
Which is First, I think, isn't it? It's the brand. Because of it, I swear that's the... That's sort of like the strip logo that's at the top of the road sign saying that there's services ahead.
I believe so, yeah.
I think it is, yeah.
So, I've been past it and been in it so God knows how many times, so. I'm going to have to go there one day and just stand there outside the thing and just like, look, here's where they filmed that Peter Kay thing.
Just go out to set up a little store. Excuse me, sir, are you interested in ARC?
Oh, God.
You call it AXC. There you go. You interested in AXC roadside services?
Please, God, no. Not after some of the stuff I heard coming out of his mouth. Anyway, we'll get to him shortly. So we open the episode with a female character driving towards the services, later revealed to be General Manager Pearl Harmon. Pretty much discussing, home is where the heart is, and my heart is in the services.
Should mention that like a lot of these characters, given that it is the pilot, are played by Peter Kay. So,
oh yeah, I meant to count, but I pretty much forgot. But there's at least like five or six characters that he plays in this one episode.
I mean, I can think you got the general manager, you've got the bloke from Chorley FM, you've got the Irish lad who is the cleaner,
Matthew.
You've got Alan, who is the bloke outside doing this sort of like the breakdown recovery ad, much like AA, RAC, may do. And then there was, what's his name? Coach driver.
Utah,
better known as Craig.
Utah's my worst name. Real name's Craig. But they reveal on the commentary he's actually called Johnny Utah.
Okay, right. So yeah, I think it's he plays five characters overall in this one pilot. I'm just trying to think if there's anybody else that I might have missed out.
Well, I thought there was. He plays another character, but it's not. It's actually someone else. But I'll cover that when we come to it. So Pearl pulls into the services. As she pulls in, she's like driving past the actual building. She says the windows need to wipe down. I'll tell young Matthew. And then she finishes with a potterism of filthy. But also with these being almost like spoof documentaries, there's sort of like you've got the narration as well rather than just the sort of seeing it as it goes on or whatever, like with like Phoenix Nights, where I think this pretty much the entire series has the narration, but this episode was done by Peter Kay himself because it was 1998. And he says we couldn't afford, he said pretty much it was filmed on no budget, so we couldn't really afford to get anyone else to do it.
I noticed with sort of like the intro, one, it was very saxophone heavy, and two, it was sort of like very, very early, early Top Gear / Clarkson Carr years sort of style that it was done. I was just sort of like, yeah, that is, you can tell it's a show made in the 90s.
Well, I said pretty much describing it, he's just like, even Paddy, I think back in years, like, oh yeah, spent some money on them graphics there, didn't you? He's like, yeah, none. So, yeah, the narrator reveals that Pearl has been the GM at the services for the past 4 years. And as she enters, we see a lad called Brian with a floor buffer. And as she walks past, she said, "You missed a bit, Brian." And he gives that look of, like, I know. And then we have more narration of it. It's just another day, but not for local DJ Paul Leroy of Chorley FM. Completely Pat Sharp mullet.
Our second piece of K played character.
You should have been like, take a shot every time you see a Peter K character in this series and just see how many we can get through.
Freaking alpha.
So, a strange tidbit, Chorley FM was actually created for the show.
Okay.
So...
And I'm assuming that it like actually became a proper like local radio station.
It became a proper radio station in 2006. A real Chorley FM began, which apparently caused a bit of, I don't know if it was conflict or it was, so there was problems, I believe, either way from what I've read into it.
Right. Okay.
But like Peter Kay says, isn't it? He said, "Oh, this." Just like came up with a name like Chorley FM because it sounds naff. So, but yeah, Paul Leroy is there trying to get attention for the station so they can get an FM license, even though they're already called Chorley FM.
But he's basically set up his DJ decks pretty much sort of like the DJ decks that you would normally see at sort of like your bog standard wedding reception. And the thing is, like, I don't know whether he's set himself up or they've specifically marked this area of the car park, but it's like right at the back of the car park.
Is it like is it the arse end of the car park? So he's a good, probably about half a mile away, near enough from the actual entrance. Even though, so you'd think he'd be right at the front, but he's not. Which is, it stems back to something that actually happened that Peter saw. He saw this happen, the guy was apparently really bitter about it. So he's like, oh, that's really funny, that's going to put it in my show. But he does actually, he goes in to complain, gives like, he gets like some sort of bullshit excuse as to why he can't be nearer, which we'll cover. we end up in the office, it's revealed to be 8 o'clock in the morning, and the team are gathered for the morning meeting. Pearl informed the staff that Channel 4 are in from London doing the documentary, seeing all that, how we work and all that sort of thing. And then we have Alison, which is Sean Gibson of Car Share fame, and Phoenix Knight as Young Mary.
Yeah, that's
which I didn't know.
Well, I upon Paul's request, I went and I binge watched all of Car Share. And I remember just sort of like, while I was watching it, just sort of like focusing on the actress who played Kaylee. And it was literally a case of, I've seen her before, but where do I know her from? And then it was literally a case of like looking it up. It was like, bloody hell, she was Young Mary in Phoenix Nights. It's like, how is that not sort of clocked?
Yeah.
It's quite interesting that like, as far back as sort of like late 1998, she's been working for this long in some context with Peter Kay.
Yeah, definitely.
It's very interesting.
It's, I didn't even realise she was Young Mary till I looked on IMDb today, to be fair. So, and I think she also popped up later on in one of the other that Peter Kay thing episodes, but that's right. For another time. So, yeah, Alison's caught chewing.
Which is... Pearl, like, literally, like a school teacher, just sort of like, in the bin. Put it in the bin.
She also says, oh, it's like nails and chalkboard, that. Do you not remember our conversation we had yesterday or something? And then, so she does that, and then she's, so for some randomly, she's like, it's my day off. It's like, what's that got to do with you chewing? But then Pearl sort of reminds her, she's like, you're in, because you're a team player, and also Adina's phoned in sick with a water infection. So we cut a former RAC employee, Alan McClarty, who's setting up his own recovery service, the ARC. But as I noticed, the first line that he says something like, oh, do you want one of these? There's that random woman walking past, and I was like, I'm sure that's Max.
Yeah, that's what I initially thought it was at first, but then, you know, as... like Alan gets more dialogue, he sort of, you realise that, oh, it seems to be sort of like if Max were sort of like, well, I don't know what accent, is he going for sort of like a Scottish accent, or?
I thought it was more Irish, because the problem with Peter Kay is if he tries to do like anything Scottish or anything like that, he always comes out Irish.
I know what Peter Kay's Irish sounds like, because you get that with a different character later on in the episode, and also like when he's doing his stand-up, because he's like, I swear his mum's Irish, or she's got like an Irish accent, because that's literally all he does in his stand-up. And he'll always make the joke of whenever he's starting, he's sort of like, why is she Irish? But then he just carries on.
He's I think he was raised Irish Catholic. It sort of just factored in, but he's like, as he always says, he's like, he puts an Irish accent when he's doing an impression of her. He's like, you're not even Irish. Yeah, his accent's like hard to place with this one, because he goes a bit Max, and then he goes a bit sort of just normal Peter with a deep voice, but then he's trying to do this accent but with a deep voice as well at the same time. So you get kind of, it's a bit lost in translation, almost.
It's a bit jarring at times, really.
Yeah. But then he's also stood there. It's like another very early Peter Kay joke. Oh, it's like a fine rain. Soaks you right through.
Yeah.
I was with the RAC for 14 years. So we're back in the office. We just catch the end of some health and say about a fuse. I might get too hot. Which finishes with, put a blanket over it. So then Pearl asks any questions, and Terry, a.k.a. Paddy McGuinness, asks, are we getting Simon off for this?
He just makes reference to like the cameras being there for his reason, for asking for time and off.
But then he mentions about, equity rights in there. So then we cut back to Paul Leroy, he's advertising... This one got me. He's like, oh, we've got three prizes up for grabs. You can win a foot spa, a health spa, or a £20 voucher from your local spa. If you're unaware, spa is a local shop, like corner shop or like convenience shop in the UK for us.
Do you know what? That didn't even click to me until you just said like local spa, and was like, I get it now.
Oh, this is one I listened to, and I was like, local spa. So I wound it back, watched it again. I was like, he definitely means like the corner shop spa, because it's like 1998. So, but then, so he starts playing My Favorite Wasted Time by Owen Paul. He starts doing sort of like some random little dad dancing. And then as we view him behind from a distance, Terry appears close up with a fag in his mouth and asks, who's that dick?
Yeah.
Oh dear. So we see a cameraman enter the toilets and he finds student Matthew Kelly mopping. He's in the final year of his drama degree or performing arts degree or something. Cameraman slips and Matthew Kelly starts laughing, saying, "Hey, don't you be suing me."
I've just realised Matthew Kelly.
I'm guessing where the name evidently came from, but he said it's not. He says at one point, "I didn't base the character on Stars in Your Eyes, Matthew Kelly." So,
well, no, but he's probably just nicked the name from it. I mean, you could say the same thing about the Keith Lard character.
Yeah, true.
To be honest.
So yeah, Matthew's frustrated with the job, and as he pokes his head into one toilet, and he's like, "Look at that! Actually, don't go in there! Don't go in there!" Why can't people flush, filthy bastards? It smells like a rotten Alsatian. So then we cut to Pearl, who's in in her office on the phone discussing the filming. Yeah, Channel 4's here. Yeah, big might get big time. Check me out on the cover of Cosmo.
Wasn't it the doesn't she also mentioned fact of they could possibly end up on the cover of Radio Times.
That's the one. Yeah, it's Radio Times. And she's like, yeah, I might get a talk show. Yeah, Kilroy and all that sort of thing. But then she sees the camera's watching and she just sort of slowly closes the door. So then we cut to Alison, who's chopping and prepping whilst having a moan that Adina never does it. And has thrown in with a water infection, yet without the night before the hen do, apparently.
So. Convenient.
and she was also ill the week before, but she was spotted out night in a nightclub doing the Macarena. But she had phoned up with a bad leg or something and walked in with a sick note.
Yeah. Stink of the tea, Maria.
But Alison's like, oh, she better she's laminate that sick note. So we're back in the toilets with Matthew discussing how he still hates the job. And then he said, "Oh, I'm ratty. I've been up all night learning lines. I'm tired." Which is literally just a bit of a throwaway point to put Paul Leroy in the car park by himself playing "I Think They're Alone Now."
Yeah, I was about to say, is this the bit where he's playing that song? Still nobody around.
It's more the fact it's purposely playing from the significant line of "I think we're alone now." There doesn't seem to be anyone around. The car park's completely empty.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then that's where he's like, "Oh, I've had enough of this," and he goes in to speak to Pearl. Just as the coach pulls up and blocks his stand. So the coach pulls up, as we're told by the driver, who's like, you know, looks like he's come straight from a country and western show.
He's come straight from Wild West now.
Or he's very, very, very much looking forward to it because he was about 2 years off. We're stopping for 10 minutes and 10 minutes only, so not be getting a meal.
And then he makes a case of just going under 12 minutes. Dece minutes for everyone who's French. Stretch your pantalons.
But he also has, "Don't bring on any cans of pop, they can roll under the pedals and cause a major road accident." Oh dear. But there's an interesting tidbit with this character, because Paddy asked him on the commentary, he said, "Oh, he's like, you not thought I was like doing more with him?" And he said, "People have asked me that. He said, I should do more with Utah and Paul Leroy." He said, but Utah is essentially Matthew Longair.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's just sort of, if you've never watched that Peter Kay thing, but you have seen Phoenix Knights, you just literally think of Max if he was actually part of like Wild West Night and not actually on the Doors. And just think of him with sort of like a bit more of an extravagant twirly mustache and sort of like long hair tied up in a ponytail. And that's pretty much like Craig or Utah.
as we come to find out.
This is Wild West name.
So, well, back with Alan, who seems to be going off the rails a bit, and he's saying that they should hang joyriders and bring back capital punishment. Hang people on the national lottery. When the body drops, that sets the balls rolling. So then he's trying to offer leaflets to people as they enter. One bloke says no, and they stop someone in the coat. "Excuse me, sir." It's a woman. "Oh, sorry, love." And he just turns right around and goes, "Oh, fuck that up, eh?" Then we see Paul Leroy exiting the services, saying, "Oh, she's giving me some shit about environmental health."
And in the window as Paul Leroy is walking past is, would you say that it's someone dressed up as like the Cowardly Lion from The Wizard of Oz? Just it's, sort of sat in the window frame?
Yeah, it's a lion in a bear costume or something.
Mm.
But they're just sort of sat there by like the little Fireman Sam like ride-on thing for the kids. Yeah. But he just casually just like takes a drag from a fag. But again, this character was actually meant to have more showtime, but it was Neil Fitzmaurice, I think, who played the lion or the bear, whatever. And there was a bit where he does actually have a bit of dialogue where he's at a payphone talking, and he's had a kid with him, like. And he says a line somewhere like, "Oh, you better run, you little slag," or something, "because I'm coming for you." And the girl runs off, but she runs off too early. And Peter Kay wasn't there to see it been filmed. So when he watched it back and he was like, "No, I can't use that now." And it's like that she's, a timing was off or whatever. So just interesting little tidbit.
Mm.
So Paul spots the coach blocking his stand and goes back in to complain. But then with the driver... "Name's Utah. That's my Wild West name. Real name's Craig."
You should probably make mention that Paul Leroy goes back into the service station to complain, but then the next shot that they cut to is like Craig in the driver's seat. So he could literally just like go, well, Paul could literally have just gone back and sort of, you know, the coach driver's right there instead of having to go in and complain to Phil.
Yeah, can you shift your coach a bit, please? You're blocking my stand, but...
Yeah.
Utah, he says with quotation fingers, it's like, "Oh, this girl took it out of me this morning. She'd hate to go on for breakfast." But then he mentions, "Oh, I drive a sister sometimes as well. She's a big girl as well." But Dougie's taking her to do a mystery tour.
I instantly thought of Dougie Hayes when he brought up Dougie. I'm sort of like, no, it won't be the same person, but I was just sort of like, yeah, it would have been nice.
Well, it also sort of factors into his stand-up as well, because like when he's nine, the warden or flat, Dougie, he's like, "Hey, Dougie."
Dougie, the warden control flat in Bolton. "Everything all right, Mrs. Girl? Everything all right? It's Dougie. It's Dougie. Do you want ambulance? Do you want ambulance?"
"Hey, you've got a wasp here, Dougie. Big bugger." So we go back to Matthew. He's got a script and a fag in his hand. He's standing on some bins reciting monologues.
Mm.
As he's reciting, he climbs down off one and you just say, "Oh, shit." But he wanders over to a... There's like a bin behind him, like a massive cardboard bin. And he's just stood there casually like, "Yeah, how was that?" But then it's meant to be a Greek tragedy, but the director wants to update it to 60s gangland London. And he goes off on something about costumes and he wants us all in cashmere and something else is that we'll be looking for get duffel coats. So then we're back on the coach. Utah's going up and up into the coach counting people. And a There are a couple sat behind you there. Yeah. So we're a train before in cafe.
And you literally hear like every single passion on board just go, oh god.
Then there's Utah, so he's like, give him an inch.
You give him an inch, they take advantage.
So Alan's trying to stop people to discuss the ARC. He'd barely legible at one point, as the guy says to him, he's like, he's been saying that in English. But it's still barely legible. But as I'm trying to translate it, is, can I interest you in some ARC road insurance? The guy says, no, I'm all right, thanks. Alan goes, all right, cheers. And turns to the camera and says, fucking smart ass. Cut back to Utah. He's just sat waiting and just randomly snorts. And, oh, he's best of up. I've got to pick up in Barnsley at one. So then we see the lion costume out front with balloons and a charity box, but no one's stopping to donate. But the narrator quickly quips that the missing tourist is the most trouble that we caused today. Then back to Utah, we catch the end of a joke, which seems to be like another trademark Peter Kayism. So what says to it, it's blowjob or no job.
And then someone in the back just sort of like points out the fact of like, that couple, is that them getting on that National Express coach? And they're like, you are. And he looks over and you can sort of like see like a couple getting onto the coach, like right next to it. Mutar just goes, oh, balls to this, can't be bothered. And just drives off.
What was it? He says, oh, bollocks to this, come on, we're going. They can make their own way to Windermere.
And as they're driving off, they've just got like literally a shot of the side of the bus as the bus is going. And then as the bus is sort of like leaving, you can hear sort of like the music come back from Paul Leroy's DJ set. And it's I can see clearly now the rain is gone. But Paul Leroy comes in halfway through and replaces rain with coach. So it's I can see clearly now the coach has gone.
It's how he just sort of throws it in there, though, just popping on those. The coach is gone.
Yeah. Just flicks the V's as it's going, as it's leaving.
And that's the end of part one. Jesus Christ. To be fair, though, some of it are only, like, small bits.
Mm.
Like,
well, that's the thing. It's sort of like, it's the same episode length as you'd get from your normal like Phoenix Nights episode. Mm. But it's literally one of those that is sort of like it cuts from, because there's so many people like dotted out through, there's so many characters that are sort of focused on throughout the episodes. You're literally cutting from shot to shot to shot to shot to shot to shot. Mm. It's like trying to watch a like wrestling show directed by Vince Russo.
Well, the less said about him, the better.
Well, exactly, yeah. But you get my point.
Yeah. So we jump to part two. As the narrator chimes in with it, it's 1 o'clock in the services. Pearl is on the phone discussing coaches and a French couple.
He's on the phone with some bloke who's based up in Lancaster. The Lancaster service.
Is that later on? Yeah, this one's a previous. It's another call with not Sonia, it's someone else. But as she said, it's an MP, not my problem. Puts the phone down and goes, bye bye. Puts the phone down again. But then she goes on to discuss, she's like, oh, if I had a pound for every time someone were left behind or someone were forgotten or whatever, I'd be a millionaire. I'd make 4 quid alone this week. So then we cut to Paul Leroy, who's chatting about the 80s, or playing 80s even, sorry. But as he says, people say it was like the 60s, but it was the 80s. And then I tell you, I fractured my femur at Pontins, limbo dad, as an 82. I spent 4 weeks in hospital and stumbled upon hospital radio.
No, he makes mention of sort of like the femur break. He drove all the way home. It was like an 80-mile journey.
And oh, yeah.
Didn't even realise it were a fracture.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, six-hour drive home. I thought it were wind. What? How was a broken femur going to be wind? Oh, dear. But an interesting tidbit popped up in the commentary at this point, as they were discussing when Paul Lawrence was doing his sort of monologue. And Peter says he wrote most of his episode whilst on a plane and on holiday in Las Vegas with his wife. Okay. But he says, oh, yeah, we sat in the hotel room and I was just writing a script. And one of the guys on the commentary was like, oh, but your wife had a great time. But he said, oh, yeah, I got it finished. And then we was wandering around Las Vegas for like about half a day trying to find somewhere we could like send this bloody fax or whatever. He said, we found this place, so I could send it to London. It cost me about $60.
Freaking hell.
But he said, it was 2.5 days filming. He's like, oh, I got paid £1,000. But then Paddy McGuinness said, I didn't get paid. So, this is the next Pills on the phone discussing the French couple again. That's when she's talking to Gavin. But they're on the M6 now, in the Plowman's. But then, look, I can't be held responsible for negligent coach drivers or French tourists. They can't be told between brown and blue. And that's where she's like, Gavin used to work here mopping toilets under me before he went to Lancaster. But then she goes off on a random thing about, we got stuck in a dispute once for 8 hours. At the end of it, they were setting fire to sheep. So another quick quip as we jump over at Paul Leroy, play more 80s, the dog wanders over. He doesn't seem to notice it straight away, and he just randomly shoos it away when he notices it. Then we jump back to Alan for doozy. With the RAC want me out of the picture. I was a patsy. Alan Harvey Oswald, that's what they called me. Wrong place, wrong time. The face didn't fit. So, right, okay. But then as he chimes in with, she was 15. Well, she's 15 and a half. Just another 6 months. But she looked much older, especially wearing that badge.
It's at this point you sort of like you think to Alan, it's like these are the ramblings of a madman here.
Oh, which, definitely, yeah.
Which, like, given what happens to him at the very end of the episode, is probably warranted.
Oh dear. So then we cut through to Pearl, who's on the phone to Irene, who's a like mobile hairdresser, who lets her know that Bob Carroll G's from Tiswas will be stopping at the services. And then she gives us the full rundown of, oh, she's doing his daughter's hair, and he texted her from his mobile phone and said he's gonna be stopping in on the 61 and where the only service on the 61. So he's popping into services. But as they said, oh, last time I had a celebrity was last August. This rugby player, Bill, was it Bill Dumont or something? Or?
Something like that, yeah.
Rugby player, miserable get. He had a tennis worth of unleaded, an orange arrow, and buggered off.
God, I can remember orange arrows, like very, very. Yeah. Yeah, I can just about remember Orange Arrows.
They did make a brief comeback like last year, like limited edition or something, really brief, because I remember having one.
Okay.
But it was on like they only did like the big bars, they didn't do the small bars. So
I always make a point with sort of like certain chocolate bars. I'm so upset that they don't make Mars Delights in this country anymore. Because I used to fucking love Mars Delights. They were beautiful.
So I think Spyra for me.
Spyra.
It was, I think it was like Cadbury's, but it was pretty much like a twirl, but more formed. It was almost like a straw.
Let's see if I can... if I recognise the... No, I don't recognise the packaging.
Mm.
Sort of like it looks a little bit like the packaging you'd normally see on like Turkish Delight or something. Something like that.
Yeah, I think it was, but it was more like a sort of a formed twirl almost, because it had like three holes around the middle, and it was the just I think it was Cadbury that didn't, but I think they just discontinued it because like they do flake and twirl anyway, so it's like why do we need Spyra? So Pearl then gets excited pulling out walkie talkie saying, oh, we need these if we're going to DEFCON 5. Matthew's wiping down the fireman Sam kid he ride on. As Pearl's radio, Miss Matthew just stands up and she's only over there.
And then the camera cuts from him all the way to Pearl, who's like literally just on the other side of the room.
Can you hear me? Answer me. But he's like, yes, you fat bitch. And he's like, what is it? Can you make sure you wipe the windows down, please? He's like, yeah, over. And make sure you use a cloth. And he's like, what else am I going to use? Then as he goes to reply, she doesn't hear it. So then he gets frustrated. He calls her a stupid bitch over the radio.
And you literally just hear a thing of, excuse me.
So then we have Paul Leroy, who's still advertising the prizes of a foot spa, a health spa, or a £20 spa.
For your local spa.
He's got a couple of kids turn up.
Turn up to his kids.
As he's like bullshitting over the airwaves, he's like, oh, it's absolutely packed down here.
The crowds are gathering. It's literally just two kids having a little bit of a boogie in front of the DJ decks.
Then he's also, his wife has turned up for support, allegedly, and just sitting there looking bored.
I was just going to say, she was sat there with a face like a smacked ass.
Cut back to Alan, who's like, do you want to see a picture of the wife? He's opened his wallet to an empty space.
Oh, dear.
As he says, he's like, oh, yeah, she left me. But he finishes off with, oh, because I had a weekend fling with a barmaid called Tina.
And then what was it all that he was left with? And I know it was, one was a stopcock.
A stopcock, and he mentioned spider something or other. I didn't catch the back end of it, but...
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't either.
No. But he's like, yeah, I did everything for her. I did everything for her, everything she asked me to, and she left me all because I had a weekend fling with a barmaid called Tina.
Yeah.
So then we cut to back to Matthew, who's having to take down all the top shelf magazines. As the narrator let us know, Matthew's not amused. But he's like talking to the camera, like, oh, you'd think Bob Carroll, he'd have seen a soft core before.
And it cuts to a wider shot where he's like still trying to take some of the blue stuff off the top shelf, and then eventually he just sort of like, he's got like a great big pile in his hand, he just sort of like drops it on the floor, just like, can't be arsed with this.
So Pearl's talking to a photographer, I think he was mentioned before, of like, I think he says, like, I will get Keith down here with his camera.
Mm.
But she said, he sort of stood there looking disinterested, and she's like, you know, Bob Carroll, geez, used to do adverts for Elmer's mayonnaise.
might be bringing Spit the dog. Apparently they go arm in arm. Apparently it's like another limb port to it.
Well, we never lose all about it. We're back with Alan, who's still ranting, blaming Thelma and Louise, and she became a 90s woman, wanting to get a degree. But he says, the final straw came, I came home and found her trying to change a plug. But then as he says, I gave her a crack with that, and shows her his back end.
Fucking hell.
Someone in the narrator, it's 4 p.m. and there's no sign of Bob or Spit. So Matthew's hoovering the red carpet's in, hey, look at this, check this out. That's
got a celebrity coming down. Who is it? I don't know. I can't remember who it is.
Big celebrity's coming. All right, who is it? You know Richard Harris from this and this? He's like, yeah. Well, it's not him, it's Bob.
That's what caught me. It's like, you know, Richard Harris was like, yeah, it's not him.
But he's just like, it's Bob Cowley's, aren't we the lucky ones? And he's like, he's got to give that look of like, no, we're fucking not. So now we get Tannoy from Pearl, well, Tannoy for Pearl. Sonya's on the phone. She walks past. Some lad on the till. So I stand up, Oliver, just like your brother. And then Alison, use less chocolate sprinkles, not cheap. So then Pearl answers, it turns out Bob Cowley is on the other side of the service, he's on the south side.
Yeah, it's on the southbound side.
So Matthew has to quickly stop over in, grab the carpet and leg it over the bridge. He trips over the stairs, nearly taking the cameraman with him.
It's literally a case of sort of like the way it's filmed is like there's the cameraman's rushing behind Matthew with this carpet, and sort of like he's partly rolled it up, but there's like there's one edge that's sort of like hanging down. I was like, I bet you, I guarantee you, Matthew's just gonna he's gonna trip over it sort of in some way or another.
Mm.
But he doesn't.
So then he sprints down this bridge, which takes you over the motorway to the other side, and he's like, he's going, he's leaving, we've missed him, he's going.
And then the camera sort of like zooms in on the car leaving, and the cameraman's like right behind it, pelting after it.
But then Mafia radios Pearl saying, he's gone. And he just said, oh, what a bastard. Oh. So then we'll put back with Paul Leroy. He's packing up for the day. But this is why Sandra goes to grab some cable. He says, no, you get that one. To like this big, this massive speaker.
And he's the one grabbing the cables and the extension leads and that.
So, yeah, he grabs the cable, but then he says to her, hurry up, it's raining. So, then we cut through to an office. Alison's doing her makeup in a mirror. Pearl's putting a coat on. And Pearl says, oh, you can have tomorrow since you came in today. And so, I'll come in, I don't mind. Oh, well, Dean has phoned up, she's going to come in tomorrow.
It's like, are you sure? It's like, oh, yeah, definitely. Take it before I change my mind. And then she's looking at the camera. She's looking at the camera. Is like, ah. And then as she walks off, Alison's there. She like goes from there, yeah, 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 to freaking hell for you.
So Alan's trying to sell that ARC again. £42. That gets you your breakdown cover and all that. The man walks off uninterested. Alan just shouts, "You can screw my wife and all if you want." But as the guy's walking off, he just like throws a pamphlet on the floor. And Alan says something like, oh, I don't drop that. And he picks up and says, don't know why I fucking bother.
It's like literally a case of like, yeah, don't drop that. That costs loads to make copies of this.
But then, so we're back in Alice and Palo exchanging when they'll be in together next, which is It seems to happen in my job a lot. When you're in next, I'm like, oh, I'm in on Saturday. Oh, well, I'm not. Well, I'll see you next week then.
Yeah.
Which Peter said he threw it in from his cinema days. Mm. He said, oh, he's had his fingers like, all right, when you're in next, I'm like, oh, well, I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, I'm not in tomorrow. Oh, I'll see you Thursday then. No, I'm not in Thursday. Oh, I'll see you Friday then. No, I'm not in Friday. And he's like, why does it matter? Like,
just your bog standard everyday speech, really.
Yeah. So we see Pills, which lights off, and she informs the night staff she's hung the keys up and done the rotors for the next 3 weeks. As the credits briefly start, if there's any problems, don't ring me. But she's walking past a lad on the buffer, which I believe is still Brian.
Yeah.
Said again, you missed a bit, Brian.
I find it funny that he's like, even from sort of like the start of the day, he's still there buffering.
It's fucking long shift if he is. Fair play to him. Well, then we have, like, I think they used to do this on airline, where it was like, next week on airline.
Mm.
And we have next week on the services, and Pearl walks out the toilets. He says, I don't care whose it is, I don't care what it is, but it's floating. Then we see Matthew has first night nerves, and he's showing thrown up into the bingo. Oh, don't film me, don't film me. And finally, Alan smashes up his table.
And finally, Alan has a breakdown. He's literally, we forgot to mention as well, sort of like the setup that he's got outside the services. It's just basically your bog standard cheap plastic deck chair and table. With sort of like,
oh, yeah, it's like the old white bloody like summer garden table, isn't it? You used to have for barbecues and that.
Yeah,
and like he's got a parasol. But yeah. It's a cloth one, so it's not going to do anything for him.
No. He literally kicks it all, but like smashes it to pieces, ranting and raving. And then it cuts to sort of like a shot of like the motorway road sign. And it sort of like, you know, pans a little bit to the right so it can take in the hard shoulder. And there's Alan sort of like walking down the motorway with his pants around his ankles, just like ranting and raving.
He's got his on his like white wife fronts and vest on, he's singing We Will Rock You out of tune. And that's the services.
And that's the pilot episode over and done with. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, that's so, quite an enjoyable little episode, that.
I don't know. I can't remember if I mentioned it on when we first started recording, but this was your first time seeing that Peter Kay thing, wasn't it?
It was, yes. I think the only experience I've had sort of like of the Peter Kay, of that Peter Kay thing, is like a very, very, very short clip of the Bingo Hall episode.
Oh yeah,
that just basically
two.
Yeah, that just basically focuses on the compare that's there. But it's only like a little 3 minute clip. But yeah, bar that, I've not really had any experience with that Peter Kay thing before.
Yeah.
So this is my first experience of it.
So are you looking forward to what's ahead?
I am. Yeah. Well, particularly with the next episode, because of the finale of season one of Phoenix Nights, sort of spoiled what was coming up in episode one. But given that it's sort of like, you could say the prequel, you could say it's the prequel to sort of like Phoenix Nights, really.
Mm.
It's very much looking forward to it. I also hear that Keith Lard is meant to be turning up again in the series, which, after our experiences on season one, be very much looking forward to that. As I said, I think the Bingo Hall one will be quite interesting because it takes place in Blackpool, and it'll be interesting to get your guys' sort of little trips down memory lane.
Indeed, it shall.
Mm.
So, but it's also there's a lot of repeat, not so much. Well, there's a few repeat characters, or well, first time characters that you'll see, but there's also a lot of there's some brilliant one-liners and quips and stuff in this season. But you'll probably go through and you'll be like, oh, they use that in Phoenix Nights, or the reference. There'll be something the references that you'll notice that pops up again in Phoenix Nights, sort of thing. And then you'll sort of go back and you find it funnier, or you'll be like, oh, they've said that already, sort of thing, or they've used that
No,
already. So.
I think it'll literally be a case of me just finding it funny again, because as much as I enjoyed this episode, the one thing I could probably say about it is that it wasn't very like quote heavy. Like, I mean, it was an enjoyable episode, but given that we've got the prequel Phoenix Q at Brian Potter's old club, the Neptune Club, coming up next, be a nice little return to, I don't want to say return to form, because that's sort of like it's almost giving the pilot a bit of a disservice when it isn't really. But yeah, I'm just looking forward to what's to come.
Cool. Well, hopefully we'll have the alleged sexy man with us.
Yeah, hopefully.
But we'll have to wait and see. So you'd best give yourself some plugs if you've got any.
Yeah. We're still continuing our little lockdown review base with the Lost Art of WrestleBox. We recorded the 2019 version of the National Wrestling Alliance's Crockett Cup event, which was available to view on YouTube, and myself, AXC, and the Delivery Man, and as well as Not Daz, were included on the recording, and it was a fun time had by all, I must say. particularly with some of the engagements and differing opinions. Given that Coxie is the editor in chief, do you have a release date of when that will probably be out?
This coming Monday, I want to
This
say.
coming Monday, so it would be the, if I can get the calendar up on me, the 15th.
15th. Yeah, that
Yeah.
sounds about right.
Yeah, the 15th. Monday the 15th of June, that'll be out. And then the next one after that is, well, we're going to be recording on the Wednesday after the latest episode drops, having another look at New Japan, and it's their very first solo show in the UK, Royal Quest.
Yeah.
So yeah, a fun time had by all. Is it just mainly through Lost Art of Wrestling?
Yeah, it's all on the Lost Art of Wrestling channel. So on the Facebook, you can find it on the Twitter at LAOW Podcast. I've been posting stuff on our Instagram as well. Lost Art of Podcasting for some of the episodes for the Crockett Cup and stuff. So it goes through that channel as well. So yeah, and it's
And
all available on all platforms as usual. So.
yeah, and if you're a listener of the show, and you can think of any more free content that we could possibly be looking at, be sure to make a mention either on the Facebook group or the Twitter or wherever, and it's something that we might consider. But sort of like going forward, particularly with the fact that New Japan Pro Wrestling announced earlier this week that they're going to be bringing back, just basically like bringing back the shows, like they're starting early next week. I think it might be a case of sort of doing not only sort of like looking at the retro shows, but also like catching up on any news or anything noteworthy from the events that happen from the 15th onwards. So yeah, that might be a little additional put in with the usual reviews that we've been doing during the lockdown period.
Cool. Well, of course, you can find the Lost Art of Podcasting on Facebook, on Twitter at Lost Art Podcast. You can find us on Instagram, as I've already mentioned, the Lost Art of Podcasting, and on all good podcast providers, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and some other ones. So, well, Lewis, thank you very much, and
Well,
I
thank you
look
very much.
forward to. Episode what?
Episode one,
Whoa.
technically.
Episode one, technically, of season two. But,
Yes.
yeah. Of that Peter Kay thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so for the Phoenix Pod, I've been AXC.
And I've been Lewis Ogden.
We don't have a net. We can't say next.
No, we can't, because it's not technically. We'll see you next time for the Neptune Club episode.